right, well, let's begin in a word of prayer. It's great to have you out tonight. Good to see Miss Debbie here. All right, Debbie Parent, many of you have been praying for her. She'd been in the hospital there, had some pneumonia and low blood oxygen, several things going on there. Back home, still a little weak, but glad that she's here tonight. She loves coming to church. I know she loves coming with Miss Chris. Glad that she could be here tonight. There may be some others that I've missed, but we are glad to have each of you here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight on this Wednesday, September the 4th. And Lord, we are a needy people. Lord, I need you tonight. I need you to help me as I open the Word of God. Help me, Lord, to be the pastor, shepherd you'd have me to be. Lord, everyone here tonight needs you. Our teens, young people that are down in youth group tonight, Lord, they need you. Lord, you need them. And Lord, the Colemeyers, would you put your hand upon them tonight as they minister to our teens? Open the Word of God. Love on them. Enjoy some game time, prayer time, praise time. May our hearts of our teens be receptive to the Word of God, tender to the truths of Scripture, not hard. Lord, we pray there would be any of our young people not saved. Tonight would be the night they'd see their need of Christ and trust you. Lord, that they would have tender hearts to be pursuing you, Lord, about whatever your will may be. Lord, for our young people that are here tonight, Lord, as we're sort of in between the summer program and the Kids for Truth starting off, we thank you for them, Lord. Lord, while their hearts are tender and young and open to the Word of God, I pray that seeds will be planted for the, well, not only with the gospel, but Lord, for serving you, for loving you, for obeying you right now. Thank you for the moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, singles, anyone that's here tonight, Lord. Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray everyone right now would just cast any cares, any burdens, any anxieties, anything, Lord, if they're anxious tonight, maybe they had a bad day, irritable day, they're a little irritable right now tonight. Or maybe angry, maybe there's some situations that they're brokenhearted, discouraged tonight. Maybe they've had a wonderful day in the Lord. And I pray no matter the case tonight, Lord, that right now while we pray, maybe you roll everything to you. Start fresh tonight, Lord, in our hearts and minds to receive the Word of God. Lord, speak through me, Lord. Take the simple truths of the Word of God. May we apply them and live them, Lord, tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, again, we're glad to have each one of you here. We have a couple of youngsters here, not too many. All right, but we're glad to have you here, moms and dads, and bringing your kiddos there, maybe watching from home tonight. We're going to keep on doing the theme we've been looking at up here, but I'm going to bring it down a little bit to a lower level, and it doesn't mean that it's not applicable to every one of us, all right, but we've got some youngsters, and I may call on some youngsters. I only have three right now, all right. Now, you may consider yourself a youngster, and that's good, all right. Nothing wrong with that. Youngsters is not an age, right? It's a mindset, but I may call on them, but I may do a few illustrations. So turn your Bibles, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, for the young people, they're not normally up here. For Austin and Ariel and Titus over here that are normally maybe downstairs with the kids and the program, they're not normally up here, all right? The question would be this: do you know what they're learning or we're learning down there? Because a lot of times in churches, there's disconnects, all right? Like we have little groups, and I have no idea what they're learning down there. I don't have any kids in that program anymore, or I don't ask them that, or I don't know what they're learning in teen youth group. I have no idea what Shane's preaching on, all right? I don't have any teens in there, so it doesn't really matter. Or teens will be like, I have no idea what mom and dad are learning up there. I don't ask them, all right? Hopefully you ask those kind of things, but I'm going to ask the adults to tell Austin and Ariel and Titus, what are the adults, what are we studying up here probably the last three or four Wednesday nights? You can just say it out loud. Put the kids, put them on the spot. What was that? Run the race. Any other thing you'd say? That's what happens when you ask kids questions, all right? And then that's always one of those things we've got to be careful. I always challenge myself as a teacher, you know. We like to, sometimes we be hypocritical. Go, kids, come on! And then you ask adults, and oftentimes you get the exact same answers, all right? Silence, all right? So you say, she covered it all. Well, sort of. Running the race. What else would we say? Okay, our course, finishing the course. Awards or the crowns, that's sort of the theme. We've been looking at running the race, finishing the course, winning awards or crowns. And so I want to continue that tonight, but I'm going to make it very simple and applicable to every one of us, all right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, hopefully you're there. Again, youngsters can, if they have a Bible, know where it's at. It'd be awesome if they can turn. If not, they can listen. Running the race. Now, I know that Austin likes to run because I've seen him run at church. All right? And I know that Ariel likes to run because I've seen Ariel run at church. Now, I've not seen Titus necessarily run at church. I've seen him run in Kids for Truth, all right, because I've been down there last year a lot running around, but I'm pretty confident he does. And I know because the other day, wasn't it last Wednesday, Austin? Remember you guys came early and you're like, Pastor Boyer, watch how fast I can run. Remember that? I have a feeling it's coming back to you, all right? And he was running in the foyer and he was tearing up. And guess what happened? He sort of stubbed his toe on the carpet and he hit the ground pretty good there and got one of those famous carpet burns that some of you might remember back in the day. And those don't feel good. And guess what? He disappeared pretty quick, all right? Probably, even though it was hard to anybody here, you know, it's called, maybe you get a little embarrassed, you know, you fell and you're like, oh, and that probably, you might even have still a burn. I remember getting lots of those, all right? And many of us may say, hey, Pastor Warren, my running days are over, all right? Well, maybe physically, but not spiritually. So the Bible talks a lot about running the race and running a course, all right, and finishing the race and receiving awards. And so we're going to look at that tonight, all right? I'm going to give some very simple truths tonight. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're just going to look at one verse. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. In fact, how about if you have it, you read it with me, all right? We'll put the adults on the spot here again. You're in class, usually like, come on, kids, do your best. Uh-oh. And sometimes, trying to get the adults, they're like, uh-oh, I don't want to do that, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. How about reading with me, verse 24, if you have it. Here we go. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Hey, so the Bible says, listen, do you not know, Christians? Now, obviously, this was written to the Corinthian believers. Do you not know that they which run in a race run all? They run all out. And one receives the prize. So therefore, in the same manner as we see runners running at the Olympic Games or the Isthmus Games, which were in Corinth, the same way we see them passionately pursuing and running to win, so you and I believers, we need to run. Now, obviously, he's talking about the spiritual race, not a physical race. Then it talks about some of the crowns. Philippians 3:14. Anybody quote that one? I'll start it. Many of you can say it with me. Ready? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The idea there is when you run, if anybody have ever done any running, you ran in PE, gym class, you did coach in track and field. You know, a lot of times the human nature is when you see the finish line, a lot of times you sort of let up. And they always say, no, finish, run through the line, run through, you know, if there's a thing across there. And you saw that if you watched the Olympic Games, that the men's 100 meter. Boy, what the closest almost in the history of the Olympics. And it was a dramatic photo finish. In fact, it took them like 10 minutes. They even made the one guy the winner, and he wasn't the winner. And they had to go back and look. It was so close. And the guy that won was the guy that thrust himself just a tad bit more than the others. And he pressed forward for the prize and was rewarded the gold medal. And then Hebrews 12:1, if you'll flip to that, Hebrews 12:1. Verse that, again, many of you are familiar with probably. You're turning to write in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, did Paul write Hebrews? I don't know. You don't either. Nobody knows, all right? Likely he did, and then put his name on it. We don't know who wrote it, but whoever wrote it here, we know these are the words of the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice, the race that is set before us. So here's some points tonight, then I'm going to make it practical, all right? All right. Is this the one making a noise? Am I hearing this all the time? Okay, making sure. I was like, boom, 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 boom. All right. Not my heartbeat. All right. They're just having a good time down there. All right. I think they're playing pillow polo right below us, all right? All right, so Titus probably the only one who knows what that is. Pillow polo, it's a fun game we play sometimes with the kids. All right, so here we go. Austin, you ready? Titus, be quiz afterwards, all right? Ariel, exam afterwards. All right, I like that. She's like, yeah, all right. I don't know what he said, but I'm good. I like that. That's confidence, Ariel. All right, so every believer's in the race. Everyone. No options. You're in it. The moment you receive Christ as Savior, you were put in the race. The moment you receive Christ, boom, you got one of these. All right? Anybody runs a race, you know what? You get one of these. It's called a number. All right? You put it on. They want you to have that. Some of them have your name on it. You pin it on you. Hey, you're an official entry into the race. All right? Every believer is in a race. Every believer has a course to run. Everyone. Every believer has a course to run. Every believer, every runner, has a runner's guide. And every runner has the Lord Jesus Christ to guide them. Not going to call him coach. But every runner has the Lord Jesus Christ to be their guide. You say, why is that? Well, are you in Hebrews chapter 12? We just read verse 1, but notice verse 1 ends in a comma, so it's all one thought, so it continues. As it says, let's lay aside every weight, let's lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us, let's run with patience the race that is set before us, comma. But notice, what are we supposed to be doing while we're running? Looking unto Jesus. Now, the next word is one that will throw us off a lot of times because it's an English word that has a little different meaning today. When we say author, we're thinking about, oh, that's the person that wrote the book. Well, it sort of has that meaning, but it says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Author means leader. It literally has the idea of captain. He's the leader. He's the captain. He's the prince. He's the king. When it says finisher, he's the completer. The idea is this. Jesus Christ already ran the race. He already finished the course. He already won. So we need to look to him. He's the author. He's the captain. He's the completer. He's the one that did it. We need to look to him. He's our example. We're to follow him. We're to imitate him. Probably some of you that played sports. And we could make the same analogy if it's music rather than sports or drawing or art or whatever. You probably had someone maybe you looked up to. You maybe tried to imitate. It could have been a sibling, an older brother or sister. It could have been a parent, dad or mom. It could have been someone in the church. It could have been someone in your school, college. It could have been your own coach. It could have been someone that you saw and you said, oh, I want to emulate them. I'm going to model them. I like their style, so I'm going to try to do everything I can do to sort of imitate them. They're far superior than I. That's what the Bible's saying. Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. John 17:4, in his prayer, he said, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. Isn't that amazing? We're not going to dwell on that tonight, but not only did he say it is finished on the cross, as he prayed in the garden, he said, Lord, God the Father, I finished the work you gave me to do. And you're like, what? I mean, there wasn't that many converts. I mean, you only had 12 disciples, and one was about to betray him. One was going to deny him. They were all going to run from him. There weren't that many believers. What do you mean, I finished the work you gave me to do? He said, I finished it. I've come. The task I had is finished. All done. Now, that's a finisher. All right, Christ is the author and the finisher. 1 Peter 2:21 says, leaving us an example, a pattern that you should follow his steps. The Lord ran the race, follow his steps. He tells you to go here, go here. He says, don't go there, don't go there. Just like a child in a snowstorm. You got a nice 2-foot snowstorm, and there's your little boy behind you. He says, son, just put your feet where dad's feet are. Just follow right there. Don't go anywhere else. You're trying to go across a little swamp or you're trying to go across a creek. He's like, oh, okay, step on this rock and you put your foot exactly where mine is and you'll be okay. Christ has already finished the race. He succeeded. He won. So we're to follow his example. And so as we get to the practical part tonight, the Lord's desires for each of his children to run well. That would be youngsters, not so young. Save 3 months, save 50 years. God's desires for each of his children to run well, finish well, and finish with joy. So let me ask you, how you doing on that report card? Are you running well right now? Do you want to finish well? If today was it, would you have finished well? And would you finish with joy? Now let me ask you, Titus, if you don't finish with joy, what would be the opposite? You finish your race not with joy. And by the way, joy is not always just a fake smile. A lot of people are masters of that. I mean, they're some of the most miserable people. No, that's not joy. That can be mimicked. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy can't be counterfeited. You can counterfeit a smile. You can counterfeit happiness. But you can't counterfeit joy. Joy is a byproduct of obedience. So it says, God says, I want you to finish the race with joy. So what happened? What's the opposite? I'll give you some time to think here. Oh, finish with some misery. Finish with some anger. How about over here, Austin? If we said, I want you to run and finish with joy, what if you don't finish with joy? How could you finish the opposite of joy? What do you think? He said misery. Maybe finish with some anger. Anybody help him out here?
Sadness.
What?
Sadness.
Maybe grief. Shame. Think of that, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Almost as like, oh, sorry, I didn't know today was the day I was going to stand before the Lord. I had good intentions. I didn't get it done. So maybe shame. I can finish with shame or grief or sorrow or misery or guilt or regret. Or I can finish with joy. Finish with joy. It is possible. We looked at Paul. Paul said, Acts 20:24, that I might finish my course with joy. And then Paul said in 2 Timothy, right before he died, I have finished my course. I have finished my course. Now, by the way, boys and girls, moms and dads, awards are not just for kids. A lot of times we only think of kids. Okay, you've been a good boy or class in Sunday school. Here you go. Go come up to the prize box. You won the quiet seat tonight. Here you go, it's a dollar. Hey, we got a little awards for sports awards at high school. Fine arts awards. Recital awards. We often think of that just with kids. We're going to reward you. Hey, adults, God gives awards. Maybe you remember what it was. No, I don't know what you were in school, and I don't need to know. Maybe some of you were overachievers. Maybe you were all about academics. Maybe you were not. Maybe, whatever. There's always all kinds, you know? Maybe your school had awards assembly. Most still do today. Awards assembly. Teachers give out awards. Now, today, a lot of schools, they give everybody everything. Everybody gets something. All right. But back in the day, you know, they'd come on up here, sixth graders and stuff like that. And many a class, I didn't get any awards. But that's because I also didn't apply myself. I didn't try. So sometimes you get a little embarrassed. If every other person were to get an award, you know, good behavior, good behavior, good behavior. Now, you can be a goofball and be like, yeah, I'm the only one. I'm so cool. Or you can be a little bit embarrassed and, no, I didn't get nothing. I didn't get any reports, no honor rolls, no anything. All right? And, you know, the Lord gives awards. We're going to stand before Him. There are crowns to be received. In fact, He warns us, hold on, lose not that crown. Lose not that reward. The idea almost is if the Lord has awards ready for us, sitting on a shelf with our name ready to reward us for faithfulness and good service, we can lose that. I think some of you that have taught before, any capacity, you know, you might be finishing the end of the year. There's 3 weeks left in Kids for Truth. You're coming to the end of the year in Sunday school and you're going to do awards. And in your mind, you sort of say, I pretty much got my awards planned out. Tremendous character, honesty award, servants award. But if in the last 2 or 3 weeks that student or child completely changes, you might have to cross that name off. Be like, you know, I just don't think I can give it to him. I wanted to. I had it ready for him. I lost it. The Lord says, lose not that reward. You can lose it. It's possible. There is loss. 1 Corinthians says there'll be loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Be tested as by fire. There are crowns to be won. Now, I don't know if you like winning awards. Do you like winning awards, Titus? Do you like winning awards over here? Do you guys sometimes Bible school, it's like, oh, who's going to win the big award? Did I on the winning team? Did I get the bag? Did I get the gift card? Did I say the most verses, bring the most visitors? Am I going to win for the highest average? You know, those kind of things. Most of us like winning awards, all right? Depends on maybe what fact. All right, so when I started going to Christian school in third grade. We were in public school, my older sister and I got put in Mount Calvary Christian School in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And one of the things they had for elementary, and some of you may have had this in your schools, was field day, all right? Field day. Now, it was for fourth through sixth graders, all right? So my first year there, I just got to watch. Man, I was so wanting to do that. All right. Our school hosted an elementary field day, and we had like four or five other Christian schools come on in, and it was their fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. And we hosted it, and we used our fields, and it was just a big day, you know, out of class. All right. And it was almost like a little mini Olympics with Christian students, and it was field day. Man, I could not wait for that. When I got to do that, that was like my favorite thing all year. Field day. All right. And I would practice for that. I can't remember the rules. I know that you couldn't be in every event. We would practice in PE, go out there for gym, and you would get, you know, maybe there's seven of you want to be in this event, and you would whittle it down to the top two. So you couldn't be in everything. But I remember doing the softball throw. I remember doing the base run the bases. I remember doing standing long jump. I remember being in some relays, all right? There was like 8 to 10 different events, all right? You couldn't be in all of them. And I remember, boy, I mean, my dad, we would go home, we would practice softball throw. I mean, just get out there. My dad would have a measurement thing, trying to improve. My dad made bases, running the bases as fast as you can, home, first, second, third, timing, everything like that, standing long jump, all right, and all of that. Man, I love that stuff, all right? And the number one event, the finale event, was the quarter mile run. I never did that. That was the one time around the soccer field. It was the last event. Everybody's watching. It's like whoever won that, it was almost like the Olympic marathon, all right? I remember Tim Meals in my sister's class won it. It was like, whoa, he's a legend, all right? The quarter mile run. That was big. And guess what you won? A blue ribbon. No crowns, no gold medal. But hey, let me tell you, blue ribbon. Not the red, silver, and not the yellow, which was third, the blue ribbon. That was it. On the back, first place, whatever it was. Whoa, I think I still have a few somewhere in a box in the attic. All right? That's awesome. But guess what? It's just a blue ribbon. It's probably faded. You may not be able to read it much anymore. It's probably curling up. Who knows what it looks like? I haven't opened that box in a long time. All right? It's temporary. But man, who doesn't like that kind of stuff? In the old days, you used to win just a wreath made of real leaves and vines, the olive branches. Wow. Later, of course, gold medals, sometimes trophies, all right? Sometimes you can win a medal today and be like, oh, this is awesome. There are awards to win. Here's the key, though. Here's the key. We hear a race, we always think of first. You don't win in the race necessarily by coming in first because we're not running against each other. The awards you receive are for running well, finishing well, and obeying the rules. Because normally, if we're doing races, we're like, well, I'm not as fast as them. That's not fair. Or, I have different skills. Well, wait a minute. We're all in this race, and of course, but it's not who's the fastest. This would maybe used to dread in PE. This is not how you run the race, the time clock. See who's the fastest. Boom, 8.7. Awesome. This is not the kind of race we're running. The Lord doesn't say, go, and whoever's first. Are you running well? Are you finishing well? And are you running according to the rule book? That's winning. And when you stand before the Lord, when the course is finished, that is going to determine rewards or not. Did you run the race as you were expected? Did you run well according to the rule books? And how did you finish? Were you faithful? There you go. There are the crowns. Now, I'm going to ask young people some things here. If I were to say, all right, I'm the coach. We got 10 minutes. We're going to train these youngsters for running. We're not going to have you run up and down the aisle here, all right, right now. But if we said, all right, we need your race, we're going to see that. Most of the time we're thinking, all right. So let me ask you this. What's probably the most important piece of equipment when you have to run a race? Shoes, sneakers, running shoes. All right. So let's ask these guys over here, all right? I don't know if everybody can see. I'm going to put a couple different things over here, all right? And you're going to tell me which one you would pick if you were running a race. And we're not talking about a short distance race, all right? And those are going to tip over, all right? We're talking about a long race. So again, we're not just running from here to here like, oh, I'm done. No, we're talking about if we said, here's the race. We're going to leave Duryea, first person to make it to San Diego. Like how? By your legs. Whoa, I don't think I can do that. Well, it's not about how fast you go. Oh, okay. So it's not about fast. Correct. It's just get there. Run well. Don't quit. Don't stop. Finish. God wants you to finish. I don't think I can do that. No, you can do it. Well, how are we going to know where to go and what to do? You got a runner's guide. Right here. Anything you need to know. Go, don't go, stop, watch out, be careful, don't do. Here you go. This tells you everything you need to do. Well, has anybody ever done that? Yes. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He ran that? He did run it. Did he finish? He finished. How did he finish? He finished well. Well, then I'll just listen to him. If he already ran it, then he'll know what to do and not to. Exactly. That's exactly right. This past July 4th, sometimes I've run the Montrose 5K on July 4th because my in-laws are up here. And this year, last minute, decided to run it. And Jenna's husband, Cameron, last minute, I'll run it with you. All right, he'd run a few 5Ks. So I said, okay, great. Now, he hasn't run that before. And we weren't running to win records. I said, you want to stay together? You want to just run around, whatever you want? He said, stay together. I said, okay, we'll stay together. All right. But I told him, I said, no, look, I'm just going to warn you because I've run the race. Be careful the first mile. Because after about a quarter mile, you're going to hit a big hill. I mean, a big hill. And it's like almost a mile. And so if you're not careful, you're going to try to run that too fast, and you're going to be gassed the whole rest of the time. I said, so just you don't have to stay with me, but I'm going to go up that a little slower than a lot of the people, but I'm going to conserve my energy. He didn't have to listen to me. In fact, he didn't right away, but he was ahead of me, but then he finally realized he was going a little too fast. All right, and I said, be careful, because I'm no expert, but I have run this race, so I'm very familiar with the first mile. If you're not careful, you want to go a little slower, and once you get past that first mile, most of it's fairly flat, and when you get to the last half a mile, you can crank it. I mean, just go out. It's downhill, all right, and you can push yourself. I said, just do whatever, okay. And why? Because I've already run that race. I've run it a couple times, and I know where it's going to be hills and what to be careful about. And the Lord has already run the race. He came to earth as a man in the flesh. He was born. He walked among us. Anything you and I have done, it says he's tasted. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He finished. And the Bible says, look to him. He's the captain and the finisher. Keep your eyes on him. Because running the race, I'm not supposed to watch Dave. You're like, well, what about Rachel? What about Nick? What about the Kramers? What about Pat? What about everybody else? That's not the point. You run your race, your course, finish. I know, but there's people, don't worry about that. That'll get you off track, all right? And so we're back over here. So Ariel, if you had to run a race, which one of these would you pick to run if you had to run a really long time? Would you pick these sort of rain boots? Would you pick these? These are obviously not mine, all right? Girls' flip-flops. Would you pick, these were actually my grandpa's. My grandpa was a Pennsylvania state trooper, and this is official state trooper boots back when they rode horses. Or which one would you wear if you had to run a race? You know? She says, no, I'm not really sure. I'm going to pass it on to Austin. Austin, you had to pick one of those to run a long distance. You had to run from here to my house. Sneakers. You're going to take the sneakers. All right. Aren't you glad we're up north? We call them sneakers. My wife and I have had 29 years again. Okay. Down south, these are called tennis shoes. And every time she says that, I said, I didn't know we were going to play tennis, all right? And she's so tired of hearing that. I said, we call them sneakers, all right? Just depends where you're from, all right? Running shoes. You say, I would take these. Austin, why did you pick those? Well, how do you know? So you think this would be pretty hard to run in? Maybe get some blisters pretty quick. These, now this might be fun to wear around, but maybe at the beach, but I don't know about running. I don't think you'd get very far. These are nice for rain, but yeah, you say, well, these are running shoes. These are sneakers. These are made for that. They're more comfortable. You've got a lot of cushion. These are supposed to be for long distance. That would be great. So if you had these, you probably would be set, wouldn't you? You say, well, this is important to have a good foundation. By the way, if you're going to spend any money on any running equipment, you don't go cheap on running shoes, all right? Spend a little bit of money on good ones. But is this enough? Well, it depends, right? It depends. You ever run and there's something in here that irritates your foot? Anybody have something like that? Maybe sometimes you just ignore it like, it'll be fine. There's nothing worse when you first go out and start running and like the first 100 yards you feel there's something in your foot. Because once you start running, you don't want to stop. Like, I don't want to stop right now. But you know what? If you put your foot in here right now, guess what? Guess what? This is gonna. You're not gonna like that. This little rock right here. It is going to really irritate you. Now you wouldn't think that this little pebble here would keep you from running well. I mean, that little thing right there. In fact, when you're running, you might have your minds on big stuff. But this one little right here, this little thing could completely mess your entire race up. That little irritable, I mean, it is going to really pester you and bother you. It could cause irritation. And that's it. You know, a lot of times we miss the little things. Or we'll say, it's not that big of a deal. Okay, I've got a little bit of a character flaw. Okay, this does not match up with Scripture, but it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. You try running with that in your foot to San Diego. See how far you get. That little thing becomes a big thing. And a lot of times the little things that we excuse, we're aware of the big things. You know, well, alcohol, drugs are bad. I don't do any of that stuff. Critical spirit. Lazy. Undisciplined. Unfriendly. Dishonest. Just little, those are not huge, awful. They're besetting. Interesting. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before him. Titus, can I have you come up here now? If you don't want him on live stream, you don't have to come up here. Some parents don't care. All right, come on up here, Titus. Hopefully you match. You good? You got a good outfit, cool looking there. All right, your shoes match. Are you wearing sneaks? All right, so come on up here. So, Titus, if you were running a race, how would you do if you ran with that in one hand. How would you do if you had to run, let's say, like a 3-mile race, and you had to hold those the whole time? How do you think you'd do? A little slow. Just walk back and forth a few times. A little slow. So, I mean, if you think after a mile your arms would start getting really tired? You think what? So, if you were able to let them down running, what would you let go? You're not sure. He said, "Well, I could be thirsty." All right. This is water, especially if I'm going to San Diego. All right, so not too bad. So let me take one off there. Keep walking. How does that feel? A little bit better? Guy's an optimist. I like that. I mean, he's cool. Okay, let me take that one there. Now keep walking. How are you doing? Do you feel a little lighter? Think you're a little faster? Okay. All right, let me have you try this on. Let me try this on. Let's say you were going to go to San Diego and you said, "I need stuff here, all right? I need stuff here." Put that on. All right. How's that feel? Heavy? Walk around the auditorium once. How's your shoulders? Now, what's in that bag is a 25-pound weight. Now, 25-pound weight doesn't sound that bad. Let me tell you, when you put that thing on, though, it's like, blah. And I tell you, if you tried to even go half a mile on that, you're going to be like, "Oh my goodness, this is, I can't go far in this thing. This thing is really weighing me down." How are you feeling? It feels a little awkward. Yeah, it's like sagging there pretty good. And that's just 25 pounds. I know some of you, if you have military background, you'd say that would be easy. You come on up here. All right. But if I had you walk around the auditorium 10 times, you might start getting weary. And then as soon as I took this off, tell me how you feeling. How are you feeling? You're like, "Oh, man, good job. Thanks, Titus." All right. You know what he just did? He just laid aside the weight. Now, it's not a sin. Nobody said this is a sin. It's just a weight. You know, a lot of Christians get in trouble because they're so focused on, it's not a sin, or the Bible doesn't say it's a sin. Okay, well, there's two conditions here. Lay aside every weight and the sin. If it's sin, we ought not to want anything to do with it. But many of us get tripped up on this. It's not a sin, it's a weight. And weights slow you down. And weights keep you from... The heavier something is, the more you're going to be prone to quit. The Bible says the successful runner lays aside the weights. Those could be questionable areas. That could be... That's oftentimes the difference between what's... Well, this is not wrong for my life, is it best? Well, the Bible doesn't say this is sinful. Is it help you run well? Well, it doesn't say that we can't do this. Is this going to help you finish with joy? Notice two different levels there. The old, it doesn't say I can't. Why can't we? No one said we can't. No one said we can't. It's a weight. No one runs with the weights unless you're training for long distance endurance in the military. This is a race, and you can train with weights, but when you get to the real race, I didn't see anybody at the Olympics this year running with backpacks. I didn't see anybody with military training boots. I saw as lightweight as possible in order to run well and finish. And almost every time they finish, they run either to a spouse or their coach, especially if it's early heats. What did I do right? What did I do wrong? What do I need to improve on? Coach, help me out here. You need to get a little faster on the long jump, that one lady that won it, gold medal for America. You're hitting the board a little. Okay, go over and get, okay, I got to do better on that. Got to go over and find out. Good job. Oh, come on now, you need to get the mind of the game. You're looking to the coach. You're looking to somebody who's more experienced and knows what it's like. The Bible says that you and I are to run with patience. That's the idea of enduring, literally cheerfulness, not grimacing. Ugh. Who said we got to do this? This is, no. That's what it says. We're going to finish here in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And look at the next line. Who for the what? Who for the what? Did your Bibles get closed? Don't close the running guide yet. Who for the what? The joy that was set before him. Well, the cross was set before him. The joy that was set before him. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, what if we were tempted to quit, drop out of the race? Verse 3. Consider him then. Where does it consider Christ? He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Number one reason people stop running is they get weary and faint. They want to stop. It says we need to consider Christ. Don't just look at him once, gaze at him. Consider him. Look what he endured with joy. With joy, it says. That's what a conviction. He didn't go to the cross angry and mad, and I got to do it with joy. I don't even understand that. The God-man. He went joyfully. He bore it cheerfully for us. Endured it. And it says we're to consider him, lest we be wearied and faint in our own minds. In fact, look at a little bit later, if you've never read this chapter, most of this is the theme. Look at verse 12 for the Christian. And I'm jumping around here a little bit, but it's talking about, there are some times, guess what, where Christ has to chasten us. You're not running well. You're pouting. You're getting your mind on the world. You're yielding to temptation. And the Lord has to chasten us, it says. Don't you know that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth? And then look at the wording here, just like all runners, verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. What happens when you get done running? Coach says, no, do this. Don't do this. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Dave's up here saying amen. Feeble knees, some of you are like, oh, except this isn't talking about physically. Spiritually, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. The idea is here, no, keep on running. But there's hardly anybody else running anymore. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Yeah, but I had people that I used to look up to that they doesn't matter, that's not who we're running for. I know, but I had people that I held in high esteem, and doesn't matter. Learn from it, keep running. Yeah, no, but there's hardly anybody still running. Keep running. There's people dropping out left and right. Keep running. That's the whole thing. And Paul could say what? I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to have a crown or crowns of righteousness for me. And not just for me. Well, that's Paul. Nobody else is going to get those. No. They're available to anyone. They're available to anybody. Run well. Finish well. Obey the rule book. Obey the guide. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Well, our time is up. We could say we need to train well. And by the way, youngsters, you're in the training grounds right now. Right now is when you're training, Austin. Right now, Ariel, you say, well, I'm only 4. I'm only 6. I'm only first grade. I'm only in fifth grade. You know, the teens downstairs. Well, you know what? That's the training ground. How many adults aren't running well? because of the training years. You might say, oh man, I didn't get saved till later. Okay. I've got a lot of scars I'm carrying. I goofed around. I didn't take it seriously. My mind's messed up all that I let myself come into. I wasn't disciplined for the Lord. I didn't obey the rule book. I didn't learn how to submit to authority. I wasn't cheerful with my mom and dad. Oh, am I paying for it? Doesn't mean you can't run well. It's a lot harder. But I'll tell you, when you prepare when you're younger, you obey mom and dad cheerfully. You love the Word of God. You do what the Word of God says. You learn to discipline and deny yourself. You obey the Word of God. You have a proper foundation. You remove the weights. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Say, I'm never going to quit. If I fall down, I get back up. If I fail, I get forgiveness. If I get off track, I get back on track. The Lord says, just keep on going. Finish, finish. That's the key. Finish. And then here's the last thing. Learn from others who ran well. The Lord, number one example. But we should learn from others who ran well. Did Paul run well? I believe he did. Are there other Bible characters that ran well? I believe so. Are there great Christians that we can read about? They're human just like us and sinners. They're not perfect. We're not moving up to Christ. But did they run well and we can read their biographies? You better believe it. Are there people alive today in this church and other church? You better believe it. There may not be tons anymore, but you can find people who are running well or ran well, and you can say, could you help me? I want to learn from you. Anybody, we'd be foolish if there was a world-class athlete that lived right beside us in the same thing we did, or an artist or a pianist or whatever you like to do, and we refused to go to them and say, I want to learn everything I can. Would you be willing to help me? There are many who have run well. We can read and learn from them. We can find what they did right, what they did wrong, learn from that, match it up with Scripture. Hopefully our youngsters will learn from their parents who are running well. Grandparents who are running well. Older people who can say, there was a time I did not run well. Let me tell you what got me off track, and let me tell you why I'm passionate about this for you. I know what happened to me. Well, they should be able to learn from that. Our young people should be able to look up at this church and see many who are running with joy. Now, that would be an interesting question if we really wanted to test our church. If the kids were brutally honest, bring all the youngsters up here, all the teens. Say now, what adults in this church do you look up to as role models for the Christian life that are running well and running with joy, and you would say, man, I want what they've got? That would be interesting, because kids usually shoot straight. What do you think our teens would say? Let me just ask you this. You think your name would come up? That's all I'm going to ask. Do you think any woman would say your name? Now, we can fake it. None of us are perfect. We understand that. But would we be living an example of a vibrant Christian, not running like, oh, the Christian, oh, I got to go to church, everything we got to do is tough, the rules are stupid, the Bible. Would they say, my goodness, that I want to be like them. They're running well, they're running with joy. I wish I had the joy. I wish I had their marriage. I wish I had their relationship with the Lord. I wish I had their excitement or things of God. I just love what they do. I hope that we would have that. So young people, moms and dads, adults, no matter what age we are, I don't know when the course is going to finish. That's the key. I don't know when your course is over. I don't know when mine is. So therefore, I don't have time to wait. None of us can say I'll start October 1st. Might not see October 1st. I'm going to start Sunday. Might not be here for Sunday. I'm going to start in 7th grade. Might not be a 7th grade. I'm going to start 2nd grade. Might not be a 2nd grade. I got lots of time. How do you know? That's why the Christian is to run every day. I press toward the mark. I can do all things through Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And if the Lord gives me another day, then that's another day to get up, open the manual, read, study. Right. Kids for Truth folks, we probably should have dismissed you at 7:40. I think I forgot to tell you. 7:40, you were supposed to slip on out there. All right, my wife's like, oh, we're not getting anything done. All right. I think you got Kathy sick, and we got McKenna and Christina. Those are our, I was going to say fearsome foursome, but that's from the Rams, right? And that was the days of Merle and Olsen and them. So this is our four ladies that are working with our Kids for Truth. Could we use some help perhaps in the future? Yep, some backups, but you pray for them as they get ready for another Kids for Truth year. And boys and girls, hey, you can run right now. No need to have to wait to get older. You got to be an adult. No, you can run right now. You can run well. In fact, you can even be an example to older people. Kids can be a great example. Sometimes we can learn more from teens. And youngsters say, my goodness, I got to learn a little bit from them. All right, I wish I know. I wish I had their energy. All right, but spiritual energy comes from the Lord. We may not have physical energy anymore. Our legs and knees may be letting us down physically, but we can have spiritual energy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy of the Lord is our strength, says in Nehemiah. That's what gets you going. So let me encourage you in that area. All right, tonight a little bit different since we've got some youngsters up here. We're going to look at the prayer bullet in just a second, but not quite there. So let me ask you some questions here, moms and dads, everybody. I was hoping we had a few more kids up here, but we're glad for the three that are here. Just going to do a little Bible questionnaire, a little bit of fun here, but we'll do it amongst you here, and then we'll get to our prayer time in just a second, all right? So let's see here. Do any of our boys and girls, I know there's only three of you, so you can be first, second, third place, all right? Do any of our boys and girls know who is the fastest human being of all time? Fastest human being of all time. Now, moms and dads, you can be thinking. Austin, any guesses? Ariel's like, not sure. Titus, fastest human being of all time. Any guesses? I see nothing over there. School started, they're worn out, they're tired, parents are tired. Adults, the answer is Adam. This is first in the human race. Guys, never heard that one? All right. Adam's first, he was first in the human race. So if you win first, that's the fastest person, all right? So there you go. You keep that, use it on somebody else, all right? Hey, if I had to say fill in the blanks here, we'll let our youngsters answer first. If we said fill in the blank, as a Christian, we should always run toward who and always away from what? What would you say? Always run to who and away from what? All right, very good. We're to be running. Always run to the Lord. You're not going to get in trouble running to the Lord, and always run away from sin and temptation. Absolutely. All right. Let's see if you can get this here. We're going to go a little quick here. What man in Genesis, we'll give kids first chance. What man in Genesis ran to greet some visitors who had come to his home, his tent? Bible says that this older man ran. It says he ran to them. Ended up being a couple angels and the Lord Jesus Christ. Any idea what man in Genesis? As an old man, it said he ran to greet the visitors. Anybody? Any of our adults? Abraham. I mean, I love it. The Bible says he ran to be hospitable to them, prepare a meal. All right, how about our ladies? What woman who came to the empty tomb on Sunday morning? The Bible says she ran to tell the disciples. That's okay. Go ahead. Who was that? Mary Magdalene, it says she ran. Don't you like that? She ran. A lot of times it's not dignified for adults to run. All right. All right, how about this one? How about our youngsters? Who was the fastest runner among the disciples? I'll narrow it down. Peter or John? Who was faster, Titus? Oh, no. Bible says that Peter and John ran to the empty tomb, John 20, and that John, it even says, outran them. It says John outran Peter and got to the tomb first, all right? So, hey, a little race right there. Peter probably wasn't happy, all right? John beat him. That's why Peter went right into the tomb, all right? Who was listening tonight? Who said, I have finished my course? Say it out loud. Paul. He said, my course is done. I know it is. Believe that he might have been within a week of the chopping block, taking 3 miles out of the city, and boom! I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Wow, to be able to say that, huh? What young man, anybody in the room, what young man ran toward a tall man? Let's ask the kids. Hey, come on. What young man in the Bible ran toward a tall man, it said, with a slingshot? It says he ran towards him. Do you know, Ariel, who in the Bible had a slingshot and ran toward a big giant? Let's see if the adults know. Who was it? Yeah, do you know that? I mean, the Bible says that David ran. He ran right at him. Whoa, interesting. And the key is this. If you fall while running, what's the next three things? If you're going to fall while running the race, get back up. Get back up. It's okay. If you fall, get back up. Learn from your mistakes. Go to the Lord. Let him help you. Let him guide you. And run the race to finish well. All right?